This podcast is part of the Red 5 Network. For more Red 5 Network podcasts, visit red5network.com.
Do you like sci-fi, fantasy, action, adventure, and comic books? Then you've come to the right place for your weekly dose of anything and everything geek. So strap in and let's get this show on the road. Welcome to the Science Fictionary Podcast. Welcome back, sci-fi fans, to another episode of the Science Fictionary Podcast. I'm Andrew. I'm here tonight with Marisha.
Hello.
And David.
Hey.
And Daniel is, I don't know, he wandered away from home or something.
Without his headset.
Without his headset.
It's real nerve.
So no Daniel again, but I'm sure he'll be back soon. And we've actually got a couple things we're holding off to talk with him about. Me and David talked about it last week, Marisha. We're going to do an episode where we talk about our favorite directors. We're gonna do some other, we got some other ideas coming up. David's gonna do a John Carpenter episode. Awesome. We'll have to find some other people to come on and talk that. I've not seen that many of those. And of course we gotta do Deep Space Nine, and Ro has requested to beam aboard the Starship Science Fictionary for Deep Space Nine conversation. So Ro will join us here sometime right away to discuss Deep Space Nine, which is also good because that's the Star Trek series I probably have the least knowledge of.
And I've never seen
The exception of the newest ones, but of the like classic. Kind of the era when Star Trek was probably at its biggest. Deep Space Nine. I really watched The Next Generation, loved Voyager, and I just never was able. It wasn't that I didn't like Deep Space Nine. It was just for some reason at that time in my life, I didn't have time to add that to the list of things that I was watching.
It was before the ability to watch things when you were in the mood to watch it. You had to watch things live.
Right.
And, like, you young people today don't even know what it was like to miss an episode of Full House and just be like, and it's gone now.
It's gone forever.
It's gone forever.
It's gone.
Mm-hmm.
The kids have a fit. They just don't understand. Like, they don't even understand, like, having to wait a week for the next episode.
Yeah.
I think The Mandalorian was probably their first big experience with, well, the next one doesn't come out till next week. It's like, what do you mean it doesn't come out till next week?
Well, I mean, because so much of what they watch is old stuff. And there's, you know, 100 seasons of Power Rangers on Netflix. What could a child want in life besides 100 seasons of episodes of Power Rangers, you know? It never ends. Seasons of episodes. That is not what I meant to say.
Seasons of episodes?
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. But you get the point.
But
imagine watching The Best of Both Worlds Part 1 and then be like, whoa, that's crazy. And then just never getting lucky enough to catch Part 2.
Oh, no. Yeah, that would be tragic.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a different thing back then. I mean, you did have your VCR,
yep.
If you could make it on the rare occasion that it actually recorded the thing that you wanted it to record. The worst thing about recording with VCRs is how often they would cut off before the show ended.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you ran out of tape.
Well, you either ran out of tape or you didn't set the time just right. Or like you set it, but the time on your VCR was just a little bit off.
Yeah. Oh, the tragedies. I remember whenever I was a kid, I don't remember know what show it was my dad watched, but there was a wedding episode that he recorded for us to watch. And that was like, you know, we had Honey, I Shrunk the Kid on, you know.
Yeah.
We had taped that off.
Oh, it was a very different world. I mean, sitting up and listening to the top, you know, 40 countdown on the radio station and record, you know, to record it.
Mm-hmm.
On your cassette so you could actually get recordings of the songs. I mean, just like a very, very different world, and it has changed so quickly. But tonight, this is our news episode. I'm sure there's a lot of news, but The thing we're going to talk about tonight is actually, I guess maybe it's kind of the biggest news in the science fiction world for the week, other than the fact that Dune comes out tonight.
Woo! I'm really kind of sad that I am here and not there.
Other than Dune coming out, I guess kind of some of the biggest stuff out there right now is DC had their second fandom since the lockdown started. And they do a good job with it. I didn't feel like they had quite as, I didn't feel like it was quite as big of a deal as it was last year. Mm-hmm. I feel like they kind of ran out of steam a little bit, but they announced some cool stuff. And of course we got our first like real serious look at the Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so that's where I want to start is because this is kind of one of those things. It's like my faith in DC is not at a like super high point right now. But the movie, it looks good.
It does look good.
There are things about it I'm still unsure of. Like, I'm not sure about this take on the Riddler.
Me either, but I did really like that part where like you look at the coffee cup and there's a triangle. I mean, not a triangle, question. Where was a good triangle from? A question mark. Like, I thought that was cool. That was sort of like, okay, so they're going in with the theming at least, mm-hmm. right? Like they're doing that. I'm still not super sold on it either, but I don't think it's gonna be horrible. You know, if anything, it'll be just, oh, that was a good villain. Mm-hmm. It may not be like, oh, that was a great Riddler.
Right.
But it doesn't look atrocious. It doesn't look like Green Goblin and Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it doesn't look atrocious. Gosh, so yeah. At least there's that.
Or the electric guy, the blue electric guy.
Yeah, Electro. Like.
Electro. Okay. Yeah. See, I had Electro in my head, but that didn't seem right. But, yeah.
So. Yeah. So what did y'all think about it? On the whole, what do you think about the Batman trailer? What did you like? What did you not like? Or did you like it all? And how are you feeling now that we've seen a full-on trailer, how are you feeling about this movie?
Very mixed. I think it looks very dark and cool, and I like that. A lot of the Batman movies are dark. It looks very gothic,
mm-hmm.
which I like. I like when Batman movies kind of have a theme with the coloring. Like this one's very red and black.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of how Batman Begins was sort of yellow and black. My biggest problem with The Dark Knight and The Dark Knight Rises is how boring looking they are. Like Gotham just looks like Chicago.
Lots of gray.
Yeah, I mean, Gotham just looks like any other big city.
Yeah, lots of gray. Nothing real special about it visually. Which is crazy because it's Christopher Nolan who does stuff like Inception where it's all this crazy visual stuff going mm-hmm. on. But mm-hmm. So that's my biggest problem with the Dark Knight movie. So it's really nice to see this having a very distinct visual identity. Mm-hmm. That's one of my favorite aspects of Batman. Like say what you want about the Joel Schumacher movies. I don't think they're good, but they are very unique and visually interesting because Batman is an extremely visually interesting character. I love the gothic horror stuff that you can do with them. And it mm-hmm. looks like they're leaning into that, which I really like.
Yeah. I love that they're going very much. I don't want to say traditional because that's not exactly right, but it feels like Batman. It feels right. But that's where I kind of separate. It's like, because Batman is always kind of dark, shadowy, But the villains, Batman's villains, have always been so bright and showy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we're moving away from that. But, I mean, it's fine. I'm just, you know, it's one of the things that gives me a little bit of concern. But my thing is I love the visual aspect of filmmaking is incredibly important. But my personal belief is that the story is far and away the most important thing, that you can deal with bad visuals. You can even deal with, you know, bad, you know, shooting as far as poor camera angles and things like that. As long as the story's good, it's still going to resonate.
Yeah.
So I'm not looking at the visuals and going, this movie's going to suck. Mm-hmm. I do kind of wonder about, because I think that's one of the things that's exciting about Batman is that the villains are usually so colorful.
Yeah.
Because usually it's the other way around, right? Your hero's the brightly colored character, or the white knight character, and everybody else is shrouded in shadow. But we reversed that in Batman. Mm-hmm. So it is a departure from tradition in some ways.
Yeah, that's true. And you've talked about that before, and I totally get that. And which is why I hope that they, you know, add a bit more green to the Riddler, maybe. It looks like the Penguin's going to be kind of showman-y, mm-hmm. which I like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The Penguin looks great.
No, I do love the look of the Penguin.
Yeah.
And the accent, that New York Colin mobster. Colin Farrell, right?
Colin Farrell.
Because it doesn't freaking look like it.
Yeah, wow. It's prosthetics.
I know, it looks great.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, they had wanted him to, like, actually put on weight for the role,
mm-hmm.
Is my understanding, and he said no.
He said Good for him.
He said he had done that in the past, and it had created health problems that he's still dealing with. So, absolutely good for him. That is one of the fact that that is still a thing in Hollywood.
For real. Absolutely.
I mean, let's be honest. That's one of the things that killed Elvis Presley.
Yeah.
Now, Elvis basically ate himself to death. But part of what made him so unhealthy is that Elvis would go away. He'd gain a bunch of weight. And they'd say, hey, you got a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd have to lose it all. And that, like, up and down and up and down and up and down on the weight constantly is what killed him. I mean, that and the drugs.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it led to serious heart problems.
Yeah. And I'm with you. Like, the expectation, I need you, you know, to lose weight for a role is its own kind of insulting. But, hey, can you gain 50 pounds for this role? Really? Real, I mean, having just spent a little bit of time on a movie set, it is grueling. And to ask somebody to do that at an unhealthy weight, to ask someone to get to an unhealthy weight and then put them in that kind of grueling situation.
Yeah. Now, there are some actors that are all about it. Some actors are all about the
Christian Bale.
Well, Christian Bale, but Rob McElhenney, he plays Mac in It's Always Sunny.
Okay.
He's in doing Mythic Quest. David, have you watched much It's Always Sunny?
Yeah.
Because there's kind of this running joke from season to season of what Rob McElhenney's going to look like when he shows up for the season. It's like,
sometimes he's ripped and sometimes he's fat.
Right. It's like, one season he shows up and he's really overweight. He did it on purpose. He did it for the show. He just totally changed everything. And then the next season, he shows back up, and he looks like he does in Mythic Quest now. He's just, like, shredded. But he does it. He does that totally of his own accord, which is very different than a studio saying, hey, we want to hire you from this, but we need you to gain 50 pounds or drop 50 pounds.
Yeah. Like, you know,
to an actor and say, hey, are you willing to do this? But I get the impression that's not exactly how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
That it's like, we want you to play this role, but you got to do all of this stuff first.
Right.
For some people, it's probably a good thing. Like the fact that somebody showed up to Chris Pratt and said, hey, if you can lose the weight, mm-hmm. we want you to play this role. Probably added years to his life, let's be honest.
Yeah.
But,
It's Robert Pattinson. I love him. I think he's so funny in interviews. He's very Bruce Wayne in interviews where he like just doesn't care and doesn't want to be there, almost like he has something else on his mind, like he'd mm-hmm. rather be out crime fighting. And there was this joke where, well, it wasn't really a joke, it was actually a big story when this movie first started filming, that he did not like go to extremes to get in shape for Batman.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of criticism from a lot of people, actually.
How disrespectful.
If you remember, that was a big mm-hmm. deal.
Right.
He kind of laughed it off. In fact, I think he's in an interview, like, part of him wanted to purposely screw it up just to see what people would do. Like, he just has this chaotic energy to him. I think it's so funny, but
yeah. And I think like, hey, you got to get in shape for this role is one thing.
Yeah.
But like, hey, you've got to do things that are going to potentially jeopardize your health.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember the actor or what role it was, but there was some, I heard a story in an interview where some actor drank melted ice cream every day to gain weight for a role.
Wow.
Because he had to do it so quick. So he just drank melted ice cream. Mm-mm. I don't remember the actor that did that. Yeah. But
well, then there's Christian Bale, and I don't even remember what movie it was, but he was like emaciated.
Yeah.
Mechanist.
But it's one thing to say, hey, can you quit with your like super intense workout regimen for six months to do this role? Or can you get in shape? But like, seriously, when you come to somebody and say, hey, I need you to drop 50 pounds or put on 50 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're asking people to do things that could take years off their life.
Yeah. Asking Colin Farrell to look like Harvey Weinstein is not a great thing to do.
No. Right. Well, and I mean, they told Carrie Fisher they wanted her to lose 50 pounds to do Leia again.
Yeah.
She lost like 20. Maybe 30. She didn't lose as much as I wanted her to. But like, she's Carrie freaking Fisher. You're going to go and say, hey, we want you to look like you did whenever you were 19.
Right.
That's idiotic.
Right. And it's, you know, I think that to just cast a stone and say, this is all bad is hard, because you look at that and with Carrie Fisher, it's like asking someone of her age to just lose that much weight, to look like she did before. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not reasonable. However, you know, going to Billy Dee Williams saying, we really want you to be in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, can you do it? And he had to go get in shape because he wasn't even walking.
Mm-hmm.
He was in a wheelchair.
Oh,
He had to go get therapy.
And so he had to he started going to physical therapy. He started lifting weights. He started doing all this stuff, and we'll probably have him around longer for it.
Yeah.
So it's hard to just like paint it all with a broad brush.
Yeah.
But it's still hard to believe that at this day and age, you can ask somebody to do things that could dramatically affect their health.
And honestly, I think whenever a name as big as Colin Farrell says no.
Yeah.
I think that's a really important step for other people to be able to realize that, like, you know, it's reasonable, like, to make decisions about your well-being first and that affect the story second.
Right. And it's also this thing where it's like, you know, if you want somebody that's really overweight for a role, that guy's out there. Like, that actor's out there looking for work.
Yeah.
If you want the woman that looks like a twig, that if the wind blows too hard, she'll snap in half, she's out there too.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
You know, so I don't know. It's kind of a real mixed bag. But Marisha, what do you think about the Batman so far?
I mean, I don't have strong feelings about this movie in general. I'm kind of intrigued with it, but the trailer it does what trailer's supposed to do.
It's a well-cut trailer.
It's a well-cut trailer. It made me think, I want to see this movie. And man, that shot whenever the Batmobile comes flying out of the fire, I thought my kids were just going to come off. I mean, they were all like standing up like, yeah, there he comes. They were all excited about it. Cool. You know, and that, and him walking, you know, towards the car, that upside down shot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a great shot.
Awesome visuals,
that shot's
man.
Really great. And the scene in the, I don't know where they are. I don't know if they're in a building or what, but it's in the shadow and the gunshots are the only thing lighting the scene.
Yeah, really, really great camera.
That got me really excited for the camera work.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that it really looks like they chose to shoot that strictly with the flash,
mm-hmm.
you know, from a gun. So, you know, that's really cool. I'm excited about the movie. I'm more excited than I was. Like, I'm still like, I'm cautiously optimistic about this movie. Because I think that there are still things that could derail it, but I love that they're going to more of a like more classic Batman kind of story. It looks like,
mm-hmm.
I think I see a little bit of Gotham influence in the look.
Yeah.
Which I like okay because that. Gotham, yeah. like, for the what I think are flaws in Gotham, it's a wonderfully interesting visual television series.
Yep.
Yeah.
The kind of retro-futuristic look they had going.
Yeah.
That's the greatest thing about, like, Gotham really captured what I loved about the animated series, I think, where it's out of time almost. It is like, yes, it's futuristic because you've got like, you know, guys who have laser guns or whatever, but also they're watching black and white TVs. Mm-hmm. So what is it? Like, that's really cool. And so I think this movie's kind of leaning towards that. Like the Penguin, just from what we've seen of him, feels like a villain from like the 50s, like a mobster, which I absolutely like, you know, it's kind of out of time.
Yeah.
Batman doesn't look like he's going to be super tech heavy in this, which I like. I think you can build up to that.
Yeah, there's a lot of things about the idea. They're kind of saying this is like year two Batman. Like,
yeah, and I'm okay with that as long as they build up to, like, you know, when we get the Batman 2, I definitely want to see a better looking suit.
I want to see a better looking suit. I want to see a full blown Batmobile.
Yeah,
I want to.
This works as starter.
Yeah, and I think that's great because this is supposed to be just – he's been Batman for about a year is my understanding of where this picks up.
Yeah.
It's
like if we got a movie that was just Tom Holland Spider-Man before he met Tony Stark.
Yeah.
Where he's in like pajamas and right. stuff like that. Like this can be that. That's great. I like that. But I like that in concept as long as it moves on to something better because – right now, if I look at this and I'm like, that's the Batman suit, like, I don't see how anybody can look at that and be like, that's my Batman suit. Like, that's the one. Like, it just doesn't work for me that well.
No, it's one of the least interesting Batman suits. I mean, I guess the one thing, like, the upside to it is it doesn't have nipples.
There's that.
But, no, I mean, it's probably
But he does have cargo pants.
Yeah.
Which I find...
It's very far removed from the traditional Batman look. To some extent, it looks more like Daredevil than it does Batman. The cowl still looks like more like a Daredevil cowl to me. But
yeah, I could see that.
But again, we you know, I'm not complaining. I think that this is early on, and hopefully, we see these things progress. And hopefully it's good enough to get a chance to see these things progress. What else in the trailer did y'all like? Or as far as we did get to see some characters for the first time. We got to look at Selina Kyle.
Yeah.
We got to look at...
the haircut, man. I'm not a fan of that haircut.
No, but I mean, it's just the visual they're going for. I mean... I don't know. We'll see. I suspect they were trying to go for something very different with Catwoman. So we'll see how that plays out. We got our first look at Alfred.
Oh, that's maybe what I'm most excited about for this whole movie, is seeing Andy Serkis as an actual person.
Yeah.
He's done so much, you know, other stuff over the years, so much voice work and mocap work. It's exciting to actually see him.
Well, and we've got the thing that's interesting about bringing him in, he's not the first guy I don't think you think of when you think of Alfred.
No.
But no, you're bringing in...
Everybody, you know, thinks Michael Caine.
Right, but Alfred's backstory, you know, Alfred's a soldier.
Right.
And you brought in an actor who can actually throw down if they decide to do that at some point during the...
Right.
Yeah. I'm almost imagining that he's going to be the more Batman Earth One interpretation of Alfred, where... he was just straight up not a butler. He just was, he was friends with Thomas Wayne.
Okay.
And when Thomas Wayne died, Alfred was all that Bruce had left.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, he's a soldier. He's not a butler. And just, he was just friends with Thomas.
Yeah.
And Thomas, in his will, left that Alfred would be the guardian of Bruce. I could imagine them doing that with this, honestly. Or they might go the route of that he's just been a butler and he served the Waynes for generations and stuff like that. I don't know, but I do like the direction with Alfred that it looks like they're going.
Yeah.
I like when Alfred is more of a character.
Mm-hmm.
Who it plays like a big role in the story.
Yeah.
I think Jim Gordon looks great. Yeah. I think that Jeffrey Wright is going to be a great Jim Gordon.
Yeah.
It seems that there's a lot of detective stuff going on with both Jim and Batman.
Which is great, I think.
Yeah, I think it is great.
Because
I like
none of the Batman movies have ever really explored that, which is kind of the origin of the character, and we've never really done it much in movies.
Not really, no.
So I am excited about that, and I think that this is... I'm like I said, I'm more excited than I have been at any other point for this movie. I haven't been particularly excited about it because I just didn't have a lot of faith in what they would do. But I'll catch flack for saying this, but it's far removed from the Snyderverse and the Snyder look.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm mm-hmm. very okay with that.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I think DC needs to run as far away from that look as they can.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's still so many cries to restore the Snyderverse, and I don't think that's ever going to happen. I don't think they want to work together anymore.
No. I think that Zach got to make the Justice League, and I think he's good. I don't think he wants to go through working with Warner Brothers again. I think the same thing with Warner Brothers.
Yeah, I think Warner Brothers got their money and they really aren't looking to work with him again.
The one thing I did like about the visual style of Zack Snyder's Batman is how Batman was more of a myth. You know, I don't like him branding criminals. I think that's a little much, but like, he was sort of treated as this myth, and it looks like they're doing that in this movie, but just something about the overall style of it, like, it's very, very gritty. It's very dark and gritty.
Yeah.
But I don't want them to lose the more fantastical elements of Batman at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That I think that Zack Snyder was they kind of did all right.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I'm not. I don't mind Ben Affleck's Batman at all.
Me either.
And he's one of the better things about those movies. But yeah. It's, I just think that if you're really, like, if the Snyderverse is done, quit reminding people of it. Like, just move away from it and go a different route.
Yeah.
But, we do have some others to talk about. I felt like that was the big one. So that was the one I wanted to cover first and make sure we got in. But, after that, are there any others that what is the one you're most excited about, Marisha?
Ooh, I mean, Black Adam looks pretty darn impressive. Just from that little bit we saw, I'm pretty excited about it.
Yeah.
Black Adam looks cool.
David, which one of the stuff that was out there, what are you most looking forward to? Other than the Batman.
The one that I'm most looking forward to, the one that I might actually see, would be Peacemaker. And only because John Cena.
Yeah. That's the one trailer I didn't watch because that was the one where my kids were in the room and I wasn't sure it was a safe one to watch with them in the room.
That was a fair assessment. I mean, it just looks like more of what we already got with Peacemaker, but I think that's fun.
Yeah.
John Cena is one of the most charismatic men in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And he's having a lot of fun with the role. That's why this show only exists because John Cena. Because James Gunn was like, this is awesome. And then, like, I want to make a show with him.
Mm-hmm.
If it was anybody else in the role, we would not be getting this show.
Right.
You know? And I think it's just a lot of fun that DC... The one thing that DC does that Marvel doesn't do or hasn't done yet that I hope they do is DC really does pull from the depths of their catalog to make like content like Doom Patrol and the CW stuff where you got like characters like Black Lightning and you pull out characters in the CW stuff, like Elongated Man, like these super deep dives that DC is really not afraid to do. Mm-hmm. Even though it is a TV show, it's not a big movie that we're getting, it's still there. Like, you know that there are those five people who Peacemaker is their favorite comic book character ever, and now you're getting a Peacemaker show. Yeah. So that's good for them. Same thing with like Doom Patrol and Swamp Thing, stuff like that, where DC is not afraid to make content about these characters that are not big names, that aren't guaranteed to make money.
Yeah, and I agree. And I think at some point, especially as Disney Plus continues to ramp up their MCU stuff, I think you'll probably see Marvel start to pull out some people from the depths of
the Eternals
are kind of, they're like a lot of people don't know them, but they're still a Jack Kirby creation.
They're not totally obscure. Yeah, you're right. There is a Moon Knight coming out. Have we ever heard anything more about that ever? Except it's going to be
Oscar Isaac is playing Moon Knight.
Yeah, Oscar Isaac made some comments about it the other day, and he seems excited about it.
There was a leaked image of what the suit might look like, and I think it looks stupid, so I hope that's not what it is.
Yeah.
But
and with, you know, if it was a set photo, man, I've just learned to just ignore stuff like that because
that's true.
I remember how stupid, when they were like, oh, look how stupid the Captain America suit looks when the first Avenger was coming out.
Or yeah. Shazam.
And it turned out later that the costume somebody had photographed in the first Avenger was a stuntman.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, right. That's true.
And also you don't know how much digital work they're going to do on the costume.
Do you remember the first pictures that came out that leaked from Shazam, and how dumb everybody thought that costume looked?
Yeah,
and that costume is awesome.
Yeah. No, I mean that's the Shazam costume in the movie is just plain one of the most fun comic book costumes anybody's done in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you're right. We can't trust the costume stuff.
Especially now, man, after Infinity or after Endgame, I don't know what to trust anymore anyway, because you know those
white suits, the
time travel suits are totally 100% digital.
I did think it was kind of weird because you can see behind the scenes stuff. But they actually did film that scene where they're all walking to the time travel machine. They're wearing like their superhero suits.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, if you're going to digitally do it, why not just let them wear like t-shirts? Like, why you got to get them all? I thought that was weird. You know what funny. I mean? Like, what's the point? What is the point? But
I mean, maybe still. They decided to do that. Maybe they decided to do the white thing later.
It's possible.
Maybe they intended to just have everybody in their regular. And then somebody was like, you know what would be cool? Is if they all match, because you want to talk about less money, reshoots cost a fortune.
A lot of the stuff looks like fun. I mean, we didn't get huge looks at anything else.
The kids are very distressed that Shazam's not coming out till 2023.
I'm a little distressed about that my own self. That's a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Especially since it's already being filmed.
Yep.
But
wow, Helen Mirren and Lucy Liu, though.
Yeah.
That is an exciting team up on the villain front.
Like, Lucy Liu, I'm kind of indifferent on, but, like, the fact that they got Helen Mirren to play a villain in a comic book movie. Right? Like, the world has changed, right? Like, that's not some stigma attached to doing things like comic book movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, now everybody wants to get in on it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like Star Wars now. Everybody wants to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that's like been pushed back. Like, Marvel pushed back a whole bunch of stuff. So,
yeah.
There's a lot of stuff not coming out for 2023.
That was the other thing I was going to talk about.
I think Into the Spider-Verse isn't coming out till, like, 2023, which is like, oh my god. And they announced that, like, a year ago?
No Way Home?
No, like Into the Spider-Verse.
Oh, two?
The new animated.
Oh, they're doing, I didn't realize they were doing Into the Spider-Verse. Okay.
Oh, yeah, they're doing Into the Spider-Verse 2. Okay. And it's like, they announced it like a year ago.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And it's like, you know, so it's still 2020 and it's like coming 2023 and it's like 20, Yeah. But it takes so long to make that movie because of the animation. But
yeah, but still, it's been, what, 2 years since the last one came out?
It has. And I think there's a little bit of, you know, a lot of the animation studios were totally shut down.
Yeah.
Man, and, though.
A lot of those animation studios are in countries that had far stricter
that's true.
Lockdown policies.
But man, like these movies, especially the ones that are aimed at a younger audience, I mean, waiting 5 years between a movie, that's a big deal when your target demographic is 12.
Yeah.
It is. But also, especially in things like the animation world, overworking is a serious issue.
That's true.
I know in video games especially, that has been a huge controversy for a few years, where the more and more news comes out about mm-hmm. video game companies extremely overworking their employees.
They overwork everybody for a year, 2 years, and then they fire everybody.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. EA is notorious for that, because they push, like, oh, it needs to come out now, and they overwork. And it was Rockstar. I know Rockstar had some problems mm-hmm. with that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a big controversy. And I imagine that in the animation world, that's probably the same problem, because it's so much mm-hmm. work goes into it.
Yeah.
And forcing your employees to work overtime is never cool.
No. Well, that's part of the reason it's looking like it's not sure that there's not getting ready to be a strike. I don't know if animation workers are included in that, but I would imagine they are.
Well, I don't need to, some of them may be and some of them may not. It may depend on what they do.
That's true.
I don't know anything about, you know, who's part of that union. It's a union, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, it's a, but this is different than the writer's strike, and I hadn't really thought about it. But you know, the writer's strike lasted for months. But the studios had stockpiled scripts, and they went to reality TV, and they just kept going. Mm-hmm. And so ultimately, the strike was less than effective.
Right.
Your
camera guy and your boom guy and your costume designer doesn't show up.
Right. This is suddenly you show up to make a movie and none of the people who do the grunt work show up.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do?
Right.
Yeah. And it's hard. Even though I'm like a huge fan of movies, like I want movies to get made, it's hard to argue with the, you know, the workers.
Sometimes
it sort of fits in how we were talking earlier, actually, about like actors being like asked to do these crazy things.
Mm-hmm.
The movie industry has changed a lot, where it's not normal to do that anymore. And same with the workers. It's not okay to ask these crazy things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and it's, this one's a little bit different, and it's, sometimes you look at a strike and you go, oh, poor you're poor millionaire that can't, mm-hmm. get whatever it is you want. Like, you know, sometimes you look at things like that and you go, that's just greed.
Mm-hmm.
This one is not that at all.
No, this is like just average, ordinary, everyday people.
This is mm-hmm. the people who do all of the physical and manual labor, the people who behind the scenes make a movie happen.
Mm-hmm.
Who work. The thing about that is you work long, hard hours. Like, you work really long hours. Now, it might be for only like 6 or 8 weeks at a time, but a lot of people jump from one project to the next, like immediately with no break. So it's long, hard mm-hmm. hours. And when you've got companies out there that are making, like Netflix, that are making money, mm-hmm. making plenty of money on their products, but don't want to pay the union scale.
And also expect people to, because there are a lot of rules about, you know, you have to have 10 hours of downtime. Like, if you don't wrap filming until 2 o'clock in the morning, they can't tell you, okay, you have to be at work again at noon. You know, it's not part of the,
so yeah,
well, I guess they could tell you could be there at noon, but they can't tell you have to be there at, you know,
They got to give you time. 9 o'clock. They got to give you time to go rest.
Yep.
And that's, you know, I'm not a union kind of guy. Like I look at unions and sometimes I feel like unions have outlived their purpose. There was a time in history when unions were incredibly important for the safety of workers, making sure workers got paid fair wages. That's largely kind of in the past, but then you get something like this and you go, like, if these people didn't have a union, they would have no recourse here.
It depends on the industry.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. Wrestling needs a union because WWE is a garbage company.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been a big deal. But every time I'm sure this is pretty common, anytime a wrestler goes like, I think we need a union, they just get fired.
The biggest problem in wrestling, in professional wrestling, the destruction, the loss of the WCW was the worst thing that could have happened, because competition breeds excellence, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it used to be that if you got fed up with the company, if you got fed up with WWF at the time, if you got fed up with WWF, you had an option.
Yeah.
If you got fed up with WCW, you had an option. And now, I mean, I think WWE is kind of, I haven't followed wrestling in a long time, but it sounds like they've kind of got some up and coming competition, which is going to be a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. AEW, I wouldn't even call it up and coming anymore. They are matching, WWE's ratings, and a lot of the top stars from WWE have already left and went to AEW.
Wow.
And it is solely because WWE is run by a bad person who treats these people badly.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
They had a show in Saudi Arabia today, and that has been a big controversy because Saudi Arabia likes to kill journalists. So everybody was pretty mad about that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of people. They've been doing this for a couple years. It's because Saudi Arabia paid them a lot of money. There's a lot of people who stopped watching WWE simply because of that, especially when last year the wrestlers who went were held hostage on the runway. They wouldn't let their plane take off until WWE paid for something that they had told the Saudi Arabia government they were going to pay for.
Wow.
And they were held hostage. Yeah. So WWE, I do not watch them anymore at all. And it's not just that. They treat their wrestlers pretty horribly. Yeah. A lot of them do Twitch streaming to make some extra money.
Mm-hmm.
WWE then tapped into that, and they implemented about a year ago a rule that they have to give their money, like the Twitch income, they have to report that to WWE, and then WWE has to take a portion of it.
Wow.
They're in contract. They don't get insurance from WWE. Now, remember, these are like wrestlers who, like, you know, slam their heads on mats for a living.
Yeah.
They are not getting insurance.
Right. Because that's the thing. People look at this stuff and go, oh, it's fake. Well, yeah, it's a stage play, but it's like it's still insanely physical.
It's a rough stage play.
There's been a lawsuit going on for decades now about the concussions caused the wrestlers back in like 1990s.
I mean, that's the thing. People get legit hurt in those matches all the time.
Now, I'll tell you, WWE is really good about concussion awareness stuff now. They have concussion tests and doctors on there at all time. And there was this one wrestler who, like, he had one, like, bad visit to a doctor where they thought something might be wrong with his head, and he was cut instantly. Like, if they think anything's wrong, they don't let you wrestle.
Yeah.
But that's also,
of course, the only reason they're doing all that is because of what happened.
It's because of the lawsuit. And also, they don't provide insurance because technically they're independent contractors. Well, so they're not employees.
Yeah.
But also, even though they're independent contractors, they're still not allowed to go work anywhere else because if they do, they're just going to fire you.
Right. But I mean, they got real into the concussion stuff after
NFL.
Well, but was it Chris Benoit?
Yes,
killed Chris Benoit. Family, right?
Yeah, he went crazy. So, yeah, Chris Benoit had a horrible history with concussions because his finisher was a diving headbutt. He would jump off the top rope and headbutt you. So he had horrible brain damage, and he became very mentally ill after the death of Eddie Guerrero, his best friend, and he murdered his whole family and then killed himself, like in 2005.
Yeah.
And they did an autopsy. Scientists said he had the brain of like a 90-year-old man.
Wow.
And he was like in his 30s.
Yeah.
So that was a big one.
Yeah. So that was what got everybody's attention in the wrestling world on the concussions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And then that big lawsuit and stuff like that. And there's a lot of stuff about safety. And like Owen Hart died in the ring.
Right.
Because they had that bit that his entrance was he would like glide down from the rafters on like a zip line. And it was not properly fastened, and they did not hire professionals to take care of it.
Yeah, that one was bad.
Yeah, so on live television, in front of a live audience, on his way down, the zip line broke, and he fell and landed in the ring. And, oh, it was horrible. You can't find that footage anywhere. That's like lost media.
Yeah.
It's not on the WWE Network, that's for sure.
Yeah, and then a lot of horrible. Like, you know, I think a lot of like YouTube and everybody, I think it's been scrubbed.
Oh yeah, it is. There's pictures. You can see pictures, but you can't find the video. You can find the pay-per-view, but that's just it's cut out of the pay-per-view that it was on.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a big one, and there's a big controversy because they want to put him in the Hall of Fame, but his wife won't allow them to because she still feels like they did not take the proper – which they didn't. They didn't take the proper precaution.
Yeah.
So anyway, what were we talking about?
Union strikes. Yeah, we were talking about
the union strike and why some of this stuff has gotten pushed back.
Well, it's one of those things, and I think – movies have always been very competitive. And so, you know, working in movies, and so especially in California, so they can take advantage of people and, you know, treat them less well than they should because, you know, it's a competitive job. And I think wrestling is kind of the same way. It's so competitive and you work so hard to get there. Well, what, you're going to quit over this little thing?
Right. Well, and that's always, like I was saying, that's the danger of there being no competition.
Mm-hmm.
When there's, you know, no competition and they can do anything they want to you unless you want to quit.
It's right. The danger of Disney right now.
Yeah.
Like, becoming so big.
Yeah, I mean.
It's like, you get an argument with Disney.
Disney's not the only one. It's Disney's huge and Sony's huge and Warner Brothers is huge. They're all like that at this point.
Yeah.
That was
a big problem. That came more down to like producers. I think that was a big deal with you piss off a producer.
Mm-hmm.
That really was it. That now it's not really the case, thankfully, but there really was that joke of like, you'll never work in this town again. Like that was a thing.
Yeah, it was a thing. And I mean, if you actually go back to the early days of cinema, your contract was with a studio. The studios basically owned the actors.
Mm-hmm.
And studios would trade contracts on actors like baseball teams trade players.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, in a pre-union Hollywood, yeah, it was very different.
That's crazy.
Yeah, but I mean, you were basically owned by the studio as an actor. You couldn't just go work for another studio.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, you couldn't, like Shirley Temple desperately wanted to be in Wizard of Oz, but a different studio made it, and the actor that they were supposed to trade Shirley Temple for died in a plane crash, and so that fell through. Wizard of Oz with Shirley Temple would have been a very different movie than the one we have.
But kind of going back to fandom, the only other thing I really wanted to talk about, well, two things. One, I love the look of the new suits. Like, as good as the suits looked in Shazam, like, mm-hmm. the new suit looks incredible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It does.
And they're all, we're going to get to see lots of the whole crew.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
The only disappointing thing is that Zach didn't get his way, and the title of it is not Shazam 2 Electric Boogaloo.
That's a shame. That's such a missed
opportunity. Yep.
I think that was what he was pitching at Dragon Con, right?
I think so. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, you know he's serious.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, dead serious. So the other one I wanted to talk about was probably the one that It's the one I've been had no confidence in for a long time now. And let me just, I'm just going to preface this by saying, when you've got the actors showing up and kind of leading into showing the footage, and you have Jason Momoa, and you've got The Rock, and you've got Zachary Levi, and they all just kill it, and they're just all amazing people, and then you have to put Ezra Miller up there.
He's like, yeah, there's not really anything to show. So, you know, we're just still making it, and, you know.
Ezra Miller's intro was weird and uncomfortable. And then at the end of it, everybody else is like, you, the fans, you know, we do this for you. And, you know, The Rock's like, you know, I always say this, but the fans, you're my biggest boss. And then Ezra Miller says, you know, I'll see you at the theater, but more importantly, you'll see me. And it's like,
oh my God.
That was so freaking uncomfortable to watch. It really was.
It's like, honestly, like, you look at that video and you go, how is this guy supposed to be a leading man?
How is this guy supposed to be the Flash?
Right.
I mean, oh my God.
So like, despite the fact that the footage they showed is completely uninteresting, they didn't even, like, it's the freaking Flash. Like, show us what the fast motion is going to look like. They didn't even do that. The new suit looks better.
The new suit looks better. It definitely looks better.
But he's
I think it'd be perfect if they didn't have all the yellow lines going through the suit.
Yeah.
That's something I was like, oh man, you were so close, but it does look better.
But I still think, I mean, he's still going to run like a weirdo.
He's still going to run like a weirdo. But hey, you know what? This was not a Flash trailer. This was a Batman trailer.
It's kind of true.
Yeah.
Was that Michael Keaton doing a voiceover?
I couldn't tell for sure.
But you did, like, think about it. You did think about it, right? Like, I'm not crazy for thinking, like, is that Michael Keaton? Like, I think it is. And then you straight up, like, saw the back of his cowl.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I was like, holy crap. This is just a Batman 89 movie. This is just Batman 3.
Yeah.
This is Batman Returns again. Like, holy crap. It's this movie is a vehicle for that. But hey, that's cool.
Yeah.
I like it. Now,
we have to suffer through
a little. I'm also a fan of The Flash. I would like to see a Flash movie that is not completely going to be stolen by Batman.
The thing is like, The Flash, I mean, it's one of the biggest, it's one of your biggest characters, you know, and of course, we still can't get a freaking Superman movie, which I don't get at all. Why you're not leaning into your one of your biggest properties like that. But I feel like it's The Flash. It could have been better than this. I feel like the CW version of Barry Allen is still the superior version of Barry Allen, and it's not, and that's not a perfect version of Barry Allen either. But it's way better.
Yeah. Honestly, if they would just call this Flash Wally West, I would have liked it a whole lot more.
Yeah.
Personally. But yeah, no, you're right. I don't like Ezra Miller in the role.
Initially I had no, you know, I didn't really care whether it was Ezra Miller or not. I thought he would be fine. But like, honestly, I know that he's one of a lot of people's favorite part about the Justice League movie, but I really don't like the Ezra Miller scenes.
I mean, I don't like his performance.
Where he's like, you know, but I don't like the way they handled it. Like, he's running super fast. Everything's moving super slow, but he's talking in his head or maybe even talking out loud. It's hard to know for sure what exactly is going on in some of those scenes. And I don't know. I just, the way they chose to have him move looks really odd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. And I just don't like his performance. I think he overacts a bit. There's a lot of the choices for the whole performance just don't work for me at all.
Yeah.
I don't like his facial movements. He's very exaggerated a lot. He talks a lot with his hands, and it's just a lot. And it just feels so. There's something that every time he's on screen, something feels off.
Yeah, and I'll be honest. At this point, like if it wasn't for Batman, I would have no interest in this movie.
I agree. There was one other kind of cool looking thing that there were like in that scene where like they asked, "Are you in?" There were like three other Flashes standing behind them.
Yeah,
I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's interesting. I'll be curious to see. And right now, I guess we don't really know what's going on in this movie.
Yeah, we don't. I think it's a really strange choice, and this is something that bothers me a little bit. Like, okay, it's super cool to get a Flashpoint movie and to get Michael Keaton Batman. And I get that they just wanted to hurry up and do that while Michael Keaton could still do it. But, like, the first ever solo Flash movie we're getting is a weird time travel fiasco with Batman.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an odd choice.
Where's the solo Flash movie just about Barry Allen as a person?
Right.
Like fighting Gorilla Grodd or something.
I think that's where this movie started off, frankly. They've been trying to make this for how many years?
A decade now.
They've had writers leave, directors leave, actors leave, producers leave.
Mm-hmm.
I wish they'd just make the movie leave.
So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where that one's going, but I'm just not all that interested in it.
It feels like every superhero movie now has to be a very big deal. And I don't want it to all go that way. Like, even Shang-Chi, like, I love Shang-Chi, but even that kind of, it ended with, like, the 10 rings are going to be kind of important. Here's these four other Marvel characters in here talking about it. And it's like, okay. And he's like, he's going to this, and it's exploring this whole new side of the Marvel universe where he's going to like these mythical cities and there's a dragon, and it's like, that's really cool and I like it, but like not every superhero movie has to be important anymore. I think that sounds kind of weird. Like I want my movies to be important, but like,
no, it doesn't have to be groundbreaking.
I just want a superhero movie that is just about the superhero.
It doesn't have to be tied to something bigger than itself.
It doesn't have to be tied to something bigger than itself. I want it to be in the same universe. Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. But it doesn't have to be tied to something bigger than itself. I don't want every movie to have to be like, how are we upping the ante from the last time?
Right.
You don't always have to up the ante.
Hopefully that's some of what Marvel's fixing to give us with things like Blade.
Right. I agree.
I think you're doing characters that we talked about this last week. You don't feel like Blade has to show up when the Avengers are going to save New York.
Right. And the thing about Blade, what I want to see from that kind of thing is, let's have Blade and it's cool. And then Blade 2 and he just fights more vampires. Like, it's not always good to have more of the same, but you don't always have to like up the ante and raise the stakes like crazy. Like I look at Spider-Man 1 and then Spider-Man 2, the Sam Raimi movies.
Yeah. I think with things like Moon Knight, Blade, and some of these others even potentially, I think they can exist in the MCU. You can give nods to the fact you're in the same world and they just don't have to ever cross paths.
And even if they do, just when we get Moon Knight season 2, just have him doing more Moon Knight stuff. You don't have to make it set now he time travels.
Right.
You know?
Well, because ultimately that's been the common gripe with Spider-Man, that it moved too fast.
Yeah, that's my problem with it. It's like, so it's Spider-Man 1, New York. Okay, awesome. Spider-Man Homecoming, that's awesome. New York. Spider-Man 2, he goes the year of Spider-Man 3, he's in the multiverse. Like, you can see the clear steps. When you look at the Sam Raimi trilogy, it's kind of like, okay, so you have Spider-Man 1, it's in New York versus Green Goblin. Spider-Man 2, the personal stakes are raised, but like he's still just fighting it's just more Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. He's just fighting another bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. Personal stakes are raised because now, you know, you've got this guy that he came close to, like with Doc Ock and the stuff with Harry's going on, like personal stakes can be raised, but you don't have to up the ante. You don't have to say, well, what can we do next? Can we do time travel? Right. Can we do magic? Can we do multiverse stuff? Like, let's just get more of superheroes doing cool superhero stuff.
And I do think that that's a fair criticism of comic book movies in general. And I think the MCU is fairly guilty of it, is that, you know, it's a constant It's like you said, it's constantly upping the
we
kind of
one up whatever we did last
right,
time.
Right, and to some extent, it becomes about more about how can we tie this to all the other big things that are happening, mm-hmm. rather than just telling a really compelling story.
Yeah,
which hopefully the Batman will be able to do.
Yes, yeah.
So, just tell a story.
But I'm excited about those. Anybody have any last thoughts? I mean, obviously, we didn't go into everything fandom because. What we do here is talk about the things we're interested in. And did I miss anything that y'all are particularly excited about? All right. Well, if nobody has any other DC fandom things to bring up or any more long segues about unions and their treatment of actors and crew, then I think it's going to do it for tonight. All right. Well, David, where can people find you until next week?
You guys can find me on Twitter complimenting Raising Cane's at David_JG Peoples.
Sounds like a good thing to do on Twitter.
All right, Marisha?
I am princesses_and_padawans on Instagram, and I am ppadawans on Twitter.
All right, and you can find me running the Twitter account for this show at sci_fictionary. You can drop us a line at thesciencefictionary@gmail.com or check out our website, thesciencefictionary.com. You can also find us, as well as the rest of the Red 5 Podcast Network, over at Red 5 Network on Twitter or at red5network.com. And until next week,
I'm Batman.